Session number 14788, Reel 1.
Mr. Albert Parker, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Parker?
Radford, Nottingham. I just had a birthday, so 26/9/1917.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a labourer.
What type of labouring work?
Well, they call it cable laying, so, you know, cables of any kind.
And how many were there in your family?
You mean my immediate family? Or
oh, how many brothers and sisters, sorry.
Oh, brothers and sisters. I had three sisters, and two died early, so I left with one. Then three brothers. I'm the survivor of the three brothers.
And what do you remember about the conditions you grew up in? I mean, did you live comfortably or was it hard?
No, a bit grim. Mm. I always remember Christmas time. We had to go out collecting pennies and halfpennies. And in those days, I mean, pennies and halfpennies are quite something. And I always remember the first Christmas box I had. I came to the door, knocked on the door, and said, "Here you are, Merry Christmas." I went. And I found out afterwards he was a virgin, sort of a parson. And he'd come from Lenton. We lived in Bradford. And that was our first Christmas box.
So you were very poor?
Yeah, very poor.
What sort of a house did you have?
Well, we had sort of a one-roomed house downstairs, two bedrooms. And then we progressed to a back and front sort of parlour and kitchen and three bedrooms. But there was sort of, we lived in a sort of square type of thing. And you had a tap in the middle of the green, that's for getting water and whatever. And for about 12 years, it was like that. And then they improved it and improved these houses.
They put water in.
We got a slightly bigger house with water in. And that was the first time we had water inside the house.
What about toilets?
They're outdoor toilets. Even wooden seats, you know, sometimes a five-seater.
And Were your parents able to keep you properly fed and clothed? I mean, or
well, I mean, in compared with modern days standards, I mean, no. I mean, it existed. At one time, my dad was on public relief, and £5 a week to keep four or five people.
So he wasn't in regular employment.
No, sort of in and out, you know.
And what school did you go to?
First of all, I went to what they call a church school. That was Christ Church School, Radford. Of course, it was attached to the church. And then eventually I got a scholarship to go to, was it High Payment? High Payment, and I couldn't afford the money. Because High Payment was sort of, in Nottingham, was a posh sort of place, you know.
You needed the money for what?
Well, for clothes and books and, you know, all that kind of thing.
So what did you do instead?
Well, I got a scholarship to People's College.
Where was that?
That's in Nottingham.
I don't know that. Whereabouts is that?
People's
one?
College. Well, it's a big place now, but in Nottingham Centre. But in those days, it was sort of on the rope walk. I was there about a year and a half.
And what were you studying there?
Well, they had what they call 4A and 4B, and 4B was sort of more or less people working with their hands, you know, that kind of thing. And 4A was sort of, I was very good at writing, and same as own fun, you know, good memory, and all that kind of thing. So I was in 4A. And
did you have any favourite subjects?
Well, English was sort of best subject. I've got quite a few scholarships, not a few scholarships, but what do they call them? I wrote one for When the King Came to Nottingham, and I got a prize for that. And any kind of sort of thing that happened, Lifeboat Day, I got a prize for that.
Writing essays?
Essays, that's right, yeah. Mm.
And how old were you when you were at the People's College? What age was
12.
That? 12. Till 14?
14.
Was there any chance of taking your matric or school certificates? Did you take any certificates, school certificates?
No, not no. In those days, I don't think they were sort of went to the top of class, or no, sort of this like things they have today, you know, sort of what do they call them, these at school today,
A-levels.
No.
So in 1931, you're coming up to the, you know, the about 14. What were you going to do about school then? About leaving school?
You see, with being a poor family, I mean, they wanted you to get out and get a job and make a few pennies, you know.
Had you done any part-time work beforehand? You know, shop work or anything?
Oh, no.
So what did you do when you left school?
When I left school, where did I work, first of all? I worked in a foundry.
Which one?
Where is it? It's a firm who made things for lace machines.
And did you enjoy the work?
Not really, no. It was a job and that was it, you know.
What were you, was it skilled labour or...?
I was learning the trade, so they said, I mean, like an apprentice, you know, but I learned quite a bit and, you know, I can remember quite a bit about what I did, but I remember one little incident about, so nip next door, and there's a horse next door. He said, and when it does its motion, I want you to bring the stuff back in and put it in the fridge. So I said, you must be joking. You know, well, not in those, but I didn't say that, but I said to him, oh, well, all right, I'll go. And I went round there, and when I came back, I said, I've got a big bucket full. And he said, oh, fair enough, he said, lovely. And apparently they use that to bind the sand together, to make the castings. And it's true, it's true. I thought he was pulling my leg, you see. But it must be the fresh stuff, not this about a fortnight old, you know. So I had to wait for the holes to stand there and then wait, grab the old bucket and come back to you.
An unusual job.
Yeah, yeah.
What else were they teaching you? I mean, what were they actually teaching you?
Well, with the lace machine, I mean, not even as famous for its lace, isn't it? So, I mean, that they had certain castings which were always breaking. Part of the machine was always breaking, and they'd got to refurbish it. And we were making those.
So just learning how to do castings, generally. And why did you leave?
Well, I found a better job, so I thought, anyway.
What was it?
My mother's always on about, you must have a trade. You know, sort of... So I went into the hosiery trade.
Hosiery?
Yeah, and I was a trimmer for about 4 years.
What's a trimmer?
Trimmer, well, basically, you know, your stockings, these, or ladies' stockings, they're sort of made and dyed, and then you trim them. You put them on a board, which gives the shape, put it in a machine, which steams them, fetch them out, take them off, and then you've got your stockings. If you go to the shop and get a pair of stockings in a large little box, well, I used to do those.
And did you enjoy that better?
No.
Why not?
Well, I'd always wanted to be a writer, something like that, you see.
So it was just not what... Yeah.
So it was a matter of sort of... in those days, I mean, if you got a bob or two by you, then you could get these jobs which... But, I mean, in those days, I mean, jobs were hard to find. I mean, so if you got a job, you stuck at it, you see.
Did you do any evening classes or anything?
No.
So what was your job after being a trimmer for 4 years?
Where did I go then? Well, when I was 18, I packed that up and then I joined the TA. And then, what did I do then? Just before the war, I wanted to be a driver then. So I went on Barton's.
On the what?
Barton's Transport, as a conductor, with a view to being a... heavy goods driver.
So that's what you were doing when the war started. And backtrack a bit. Had you been in the Boy Scouts or anything like that, or any of the boys organisations?
Oh yes, I've been in the Cubs, Boy Scouts.
What sort of
Lads
thing?
Church Brigade, Boys Brigade.
So you joined a lot of things.
Oh, I've been. Then I went to the TA, so I was in the lot.
What would you do with the? What sort of activities did you do with all them boys' clubs? And what did you like about it?
Well, more or less the comradeship, you know, sort of being, used to play football and swimming, and I was interested in cricket, and that kind of thing. So I mean, you know.
Did you go camping?
Oh yeah, yeah. The first time I saw the sea was camping at Ingemills. On what they call some kind of point. If you'd been over there, I mean, you'd been sort of, you know, the end of the world. That's the first time I saw the sea.
Literally.
Yeah. When he said about part-time jobs, I missed that I was a newspaper boy for 2 years. And I saved £5 a week for that. And £5 a week was a lot of money. And I had a job taking bed round on a Saturday. I mean, a newspaper job in the, you know, sort of 5 days and then take.
Would all the money you earn go into the family budget? Or would you keep any for yourself?
Oh, no, I used to sort of share it. I mean, half to the family and half to me.
As your brothers started working, did the family finances improve as you got nearer the war, or were you still hard?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Because, I mean, obviously there's four of us, so, I mean, there's three more than me. I mean, obviously, there was two above me and one below me, so in age, I mean, all that money was coming in, so we were a bit better. I mean, we could afford to have shoes on our feet.
Now, when did you actually join the TA then? Do you remember?
4th of Feb, 38.
Now, what made you decide to join then? Because that was before Munich. I mean, were you aware of what was going on in Germany and with Hitler and all that?
Well, you read the newspapers. I mean, it wasn't really... what was really interesting was the fact that it was companionship and... I was meeting with people, and I'd been in the Boy Scouts, and I didn't like it very much, and I liked marches in the.
So it wasn't so much a desire to fight Hitler or anything.
Oh, no.
King and country. It was more part of your.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Now, where did you go to sign on? That's 4th of February.
No, Dillall at Nottingham, which
on
is
Derby
now a post office. Yeah, yeah.
And do you remember what happened when you went? Why the South, not Hussars? Why not the Sherwood Foresters?
Well, that's the story. I mean, I didn't go to join the South, not Hussars.
Oh, right. Tell me exactly what happened then. You just decided to join the TA then, not anything else?
No, somebody said to me, a pal of mine said, I'm in the Signal Corps, he said, at Dillall. I said, you want to pop up there? He said, it's lovely. He said, you know, so and so. So, of course, Albert walked through the door. And I said, like an ear, can I help you? Where do you want? I said, I want to be a signaller. He said, just a moment, you come with me. And of course, that was it. He said, sit down there. And of course, any lad, I mean, and he was imposing a chap at 002 or something.
Do you know who he was?
I think he's dead now, so I mean, I think his name was Sykes. And his lad was in the...
Yeah, Jack Sykes' Jack father. Sykes, I've forgotten his name. But Sykes' dad, yeah.
Yeah,
so he said to you...
So sit down there, said, and I'll be with him home. Or send someone to see him. Bloke came in and said, you want me to signal you? I said, yeah. All right. So now this is what we're doing. He gave me a little thing. And said, try it, you know.
A Morse tapper.
Yeah, yeah. A little... On a wooden block, you see, and... Yeah, that'll do me. So I said.
Did you know any Morse from the Boy Scouts?
No. And he said, well, it's just signing him. So, have you got your parents' business? Oh, yeah, sure. I'll meet if you like. Oh, it's all right now. Sign, that was it. Fortnight later, bloke said, you come on so and so Tuesdays or whatever it is. And I came on. Bloke said, who are you? I said, Parker. And he said, well, what are you doing here? I said, well, I've signed on. Be a signaller. So he said, just a minute, I'll check the records. Oh, yeah, Parker AH, yeah. He said, come here. Took me in the class and he said, I'll get your kit for you. And he jumped some kit and I didn't know then it was in the South, not so.
You still thought you'd join the signal corps?
You were in the corps of signal, yeah, because, I mean, that's what this bloke said to me. Well, I'm in the corps of signal at Dillall.
So Sykes hadn't said a word?
No, he didn't say, you know...
Did he know, do you think, that you... He'd have known that you wanted to join
He wanted to join the chair, you see, so he brought me in and that was it.
So this night you went and They gave you a kit. Do you remember what kit they gave you? Or uniform? It's long.
An old fashioned battle dress, you know, it was right up to the top and a belt. My dad used to polish my belt for me, so I know that. And I had a pair of riding breeches, spurs and booties. I think I'm one of the last people that rode a horse in this town.
Now, he then took you into the class, did he?
Oh, and those round buttons, little round buttons, on the uniform, collar, you know, sort of. So you held your head up high. You know?
So you only realised when you saw the cap badge and things.
You
realised then.
Yeah, South Knots. Yeah.
And what did you think?
I thought, well, you know, soldier on, sort of.
You weren't bothered then.
No.
So you were straight into signal classes then.
Yeah.
You'd signed as a signal. You didn't go through the gunner phase.
No.
So what were the first... Let's look at your signal training first. You'd go once or twice a week, would you?
I think it was about a Tuesday and Thursday.
And what would happen on a typical night then? You'd go in...
And you'd have these little key things to start with, you know, sort of... And then it maps to... Well, the diagrams go A, B, C... I've got a book at home somewhere. A dot dot dot. And in those days, it was Ack Beer Charlie Dunn. Always remember that.
It's what?
Ack Beer Charlie Dunn. A, B, C, D. Now, because it's all for Peter, isn't it? You know. And that was my initial sort of... I'd always remember that. Ack Beer Charlie Dunn. Because they used to do it, didn't you? Ack Beer Charlie Dunn.
And they were the... That's a sort of phonetic alphabet they were teaching. Did it go any further than Don?
Oh yes,
went right through.
Oh yeah, echo and.
So they were teaching you Morse using the buzzers.
Yeah.
How would they set that up? Would they be sending to you and back or?
No, you had a bloke at the side of it, and you had headphones, and you could hear him, and he could hear you. And so you say send this, you know. That's why I remember Zach Pitch all the time.
How quick did you pick it up, do you think?
Not very clever, no. I wasn't very good on signalling. No.
Wasn't your thing?
Well, reading Morse wasn't. I'll tell you about it later, because...
But we'll come on to that then. Yeah. But you didn't pick it up straight away then?
You took your
time learning it?
Yeah.
Was there anything else you'd do on a drill night? Would they teach you foot drill?
Oh, yes, foot drill, yeah.
Who would be teaching you that?
Well, I suppose just the sergeants. I mean, like in here, I mean, you get a sergeant or a bombardier who probably clued up on some. It's like an RSM or a sergeant major. He's not very good on drill, but a bombardier is. So, whoever's sort of the best bloke to take it would take it. See.
Did you enjoy foot drill?
Yeah, so much.
What did you like about it?
Well, the precision. You know, so in those days it was form fours, and you know, not like now. A four sort of, and I always enjoy that kind of thing. It's sort of physical. And
did you know why drill was important? I mean, did you know then? You might know now, but did you understand why you were doing it at the time?
Not really, no.
What else were you doing on Tuesday and Thursday?
Well, that was about it.
Did they teach you any gun drill at all?
Not me, no.
So that's Tuesday and Thursday. Did you ever go on the weekend?
Yes, we was we used to go to the Colonel's place at is it Ramshill, Ramsgate or no Ramshill?
But no, this is not Colonel Seely. It's Colonel Holden, isn't it?
No, Seely's place we used to go to.
So Major Seely's place, because Holden was the Colonel before the war.
Ah, but Bill Seely was
he was battery captain.
Yeah, but we used to go
battery commander.
Yeah, but we used to go to his place.
Now, I should have got that straight before, actually. Who had you actually joined? You joined 107 Regiment, but who? What were you in? You were in the signal section of which part of it?
I was in a battery. I was in A battery.
A troop.
425. 425 battery in A troop, yeah.
So the signal section for A troop.
Yeah.
And so what on these weekend... Sorry, that was on these weekend things at Colonel Seely's estate, what would you do?
Well, you either do the OP work or do the battery work. I mean, you had a wireless that's called a number one in those days. Nowadays there'd be an antique, wouldn't there?
So you were taught wireless as well as...
And they used to tell you to bring a thin sixpence because you used to have to, you know, on a wireless set, you have a little knob. What's the old screwdriver? What's the screwdriver that brought out recently?
A Phillips.
Phillips, yeah. Well, you used to have little things to tighten or to, you know, untighten. And the bloke in charge, you say, now, bring a thin sixpence to undo. And that's the wartime, yes.
So, when you set up, they were radio. You had radio at the OP and a radio back at the gun position.
Yeah.
You didn't run a telephone line then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right, you see.
As well. Mm. And what did they teach you about the radio?
Well, obviously, I mean, you had to set it up and get your frequencies. And you could, if you're sort of a little bit off, I mean, you couldn't hear at all. So you got to do these sort of adjustments.
How did you actually set the radio up? I mean, would you have to put an aerial up and the rest of it?
Oh, yeah.
How would you do that?
Well, stick it on. I mean, don't forget, you know, they weren't posh like they are today, and it was just on the back of the set. Just stick an aerial in, like a little rod. I mean, that was it.
And did you understand how the radio worked, or was it just something you used?
Oh, something you used.
You weren't...
If you were clever enough, you were a technician, but I mean... But never mechanically minded.
Were you using speech on the radio or Morse?
No, speech, mainly. Because blokes in Morse, I mean, you do about 4 words a minute, 5 words a minute, you're proficient then.
So all you'd do is set this up, and how would you set the wire out between the two? Was that done by hand or...?
Probably by hand, yeah. Occasionally you had what they call a PU, and you pull it from the back, you know. But mainly it's by hand, you know, a little...
And so your job as signallers, you'd get the signals established, you get the wireless link, get the telephone link, and then what would you do? This is on the weekends, I'm not talking about in the war, on the weekend training.
Well, if they're doing the scheme, like, I mean, they're sending you things down, you know, sort of GPO, got a GPO and OPA officer, and of course that they were sending messages all the time.
And you just pass them through?
To fire the guns, oh yeah.
They wouldn't actually fire the gun, so it was all practice.
No.
Anything else you do on a weekend training?
Only eat and...
Eat?
You get a corned beef sandwich.
Who would
bottle
provide...
Beer.
Who would provide that?
Oh, either... Well, the regiment, I suppose. And you sometimes get 2 shillings. In those days, I mean, 2 shillings is a lot of money.
Who'd give you that?
Well, from the regiment again.
And what do you remember about the... So your training would carry on. How were you getting on with your other ranks? Do you remember any of the other signallers you were learning with, any of the names at that time?
One bloke called Morley, and his dad was an officer in the First World War. And he finished up a sort of sub-editor on the Sun, so he was sort of bloke I could lean to, because I was always writing essays and things like that.
A man
called Turner.
Turner. And how did you get on with these chaps?
Oh, quite well. And a boat called Miles, Paddy Miles.
So you were friendly.
A boat called Billington. Billington.
And were they much the same as yourself, from the same sort of background?
Yeah, more or less, you know, working class, and some probably a bit better because the father got a good job, but I mean...
And what about your signals NCO? Who was that?
Because
that wouldn't be Sykes, would it? Or would it?
Oh, no. Because he was 406 battery.
So who would you have then?
Well, Jack Sykes was my immediate sort of sergeant.
Before the war?
Yeah.
What did you think of Jack?
He was all right. Got on with Jack.
Was he a good signal sergeant?
Oh, yeah.
And any other sergeants or bombardiers?
No, there's one bloke who was made up to Sergeant Major, Jack Gore.
What was he like?
Excellent. I know, a young bloke. I mean, actually, he was younger than me, and I was only 18, so I mean...
What was so good about him then? Why the quick...
Well, he knew everything. Not because I say it, because if you... Probably other people might say the same thing, but he could pick a book up and read it, and then he could put the book down and tell you what he's read. And you could get the book and say, oh, that's right, don't you? I think at one time he was the youngest sergeant major in the army.
So you just learned very quickly.
Oh, it was excellent, yeah.
Had he got any signalling experience before he joined, or did he just pick it all up
very
quickly?
No, he picked it up.
Was he a joker as well?
Well, it's a bit serious at times, but I mean, not sort of a joker, probably. I mean, if you ask people about me, I mean, they might say I'm a joker, and he wasn't, you see. He was more serious than...
What about your signalling officer? Do you know who that was? Did you have a signal officer?
We used to have, yeah. The double barrel name. He was our signal officer in rugby, so that was, you know...
That was Wellesley Colley.
Yeah.
And what was he like?
Excellent bloke. Yeah. Well, in one way, see, we used to like him because he was sort of one of the boys. I mean, not like Pringle, Willie Pringle. You mentioned Willie Pringle.
What was Pringle like then?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't like to say. Because he was in B troop, you see, and we were in A troop. And there's always this sort of discussion that we were better than them and sort of thing.
What was his reputation, roughly speaking, Pringle?
Well, he was a Scotsman, wasn't he? Eh? He was a bit dour, wasn't he? Yeah.
Was he competent? Did he know his
stuff? I think so, yeah, yeah.
What about some of the other chaps? I mean, early on, the Birkins, Peter, Gary and Ivor. Well, I'm sure Ivor was...
Well, Gary was excellent. He was one of the best, you know.
What was so good about him?
Well, he seemed a man's man, you know what I mean? I mean, some of us, I mean, there might be one or two in there. I mean, I wouldn't walk across the road to shake hands with him, you know, so that sort of thing.
What about Peter Birkin?
He was a good soldier, yeah. I always remember Tobruk, I mean, he was in charge. He was my battle captain.
Shakespeare, Collie?
Oh, Shaky, yeah. Shaky, I was...
Was that his nickname?
Shaky, yeah.
Why did they call him that?
Well, it was cheaper than saying Shakespeare all the time, you know. Shaky, I mean, in the army, most people have got a nickname, haven't they? I was with the bloke for 2 years and didn't know his name, and he's called him Square Deal. And he was he was a railway clerk, and before the war, they always asked him for Square Deal, the army. So we just call him Square Deal. Even today, if I saw him, I'd say, oh, Square, you know, just like that. And he'd know what I'm talking about, Square Deal.
Did you have a nickname?
He used to call me Nosey.
The normal one, yeah.
Normal one.
So, what about, I think 38, you went to Reedsdale, and then again in 39. What do you remember about the 38 time at Reedsdale? Of course, they did very well in the King's Cup that year, didn't
they? Oh, I was in the King's Cup, yeah.
What do you remember about the whole competition?
Well, we went down with Gary Birkin, as a matter of fact, and he took me down in the car. I always remember it, Ford V8, I mean. Things like that I can remember, so it's a... But my memory's slipping a bit. Of course, eventually you come back and you get in second gear.
So, was that to Reedsdale he went down? Because the first part of it was at Reedsdale, wasn't it? And then they went down to Larkhill.
Yeah.
Which was the V8 bit, the Reedsdale bit, or the Larkhill?
No, Larkhill. Flat fields around that.